We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Bryn Aiken, and on tonight's episode, I will be reviewing Dune. So if you remember last week, I said another movie review would be on the way. I said it'd be sometime between Monday and Thursday last night, but I did watch the movie last night, and it was so late, I just kind of decided to turn in and do the review tonight. But also there will be another review later tonight, so be on the lookout for that. But everyone's been talking about this movie for the last week, and I finally got to watch it last night, and what did I think of it? I'll start off by saying that I really did like this movie. In fact, I loved this movie. I thought it was really good. It was really great, and that's coming from someone who hasn't seen the 1984 version of this story, you know, the big screen adaptation of this story, and someone who hasn't even read the book that this movie was based on. So I went into this completely blind. I mean, other than seeing the trailers, but like in terms of not having seen the first attempt at turning this into a big blockbuster franchise, you know, with David Lynch's movie, and in terms of the book or any of the sequels to that book, yeah, I had no idea, you know, what Dune was. I mean, I read up on it, like I knew, you know, that it was this big epic sci-fi story that originally started out as a book in the late 60s, but I didn't know. But you know, I hadn't read it, and I hadn't watched the 1984 film, so going into it blind was actually, and I kind of wanted to go into it blind. You know, I kind of just, you know, open mind, open eyes, you know, just fresh, you know, fresh perspective. It's really great. It's, in fact, it might. And, you know, the year's not quite over yet, but it might be my favorite movie of the year. I know it's in my top 10 somewhere. It might be my favorite. It might even have passed Zack Snyder's Justice League as my favorite movie of the year. But we'll have to wait until the end of the year to see. So this is basically, for those of you who don't know anything about Dune, like I didn't know anything about it before the trailer came out, I didn't know anything about it until the first trailer came out. The movie is basically about this boy named Paul Atreides, who lives in the far future on this. He lives in this galaxy far, far away on this planet, Caladan, in the year, 10,191. And he's basically the next in line to rule his family, because it's him, his father Leto, and his mother Jessica. But his family is called to help the people of the desert planet Arrakis, the Fremen. He's called to help, he and his family are called to help them, because the Harkonnens, who are another house, like another royal family, have been kind of abusing the Fremen and stealing their supplies and killing their killing them for years on end. So the Emperor of the whole galaxy that they're in, you know, he calls House Atreides to go over there and kind of take the planet over from the Harkonnen. But what House Atreides, you know, what Paul and none of them realize is that the Emperor, you know, it kind of sabotaged them, in order to, basically he thrust them into this war. Like he told, he, he let the Harkonnen know exactly where the House Atreides were going to be, and they delves into this all out war, and that's the basic plot. I mean, okay, I guess I did kind of spoil that part with the Emperor, but, and yeah, I guess I probably should have mentioned this, but yeah, there will be spoilers, or I will go into a few spoilers from the movie, so just be on the lookout for that. But yeah, so that's pretty much the basic plot of the movie, and it is and it was really good. Like, what I really appreciated about the movie was the fact that it's 2.5 hours, but not once did I get bored or just tired of what was going on. Even when the movie kind of stopped to do some world building, I was always fascinated or interested or intrigued with whatever the characters were talking about or whatever they were witnessing or watching on screen, you know, like, because, you know, there is a lot of world building, and that's to be expected with a first movie in a franchise. And especially for people who haven't seen the 84 film or read any of the books, they're going to be confused. I mean, you know, it's like the Lord of the Rings, you know, the first film, you know, having all the world building, and, you know, the first Harry Potter film, the first Star Wars film, having all that world building within the first movie, and then building upon that in the following movies, in the sequels. But what I like is they don't really take a break. Like, every time they do world building, to me, it doesn't, and, you know, I'm assuming pretty much everyone else felt this way, it didn't feel like they took a break from telling an interesting story to just go, here's all these people, here's what they do, this is this planet, you know, this is this group of people, this is why they're pissed at this group of people. Like, it didn't feel like homework, you know what I mean? It didn't feel like, the movie didn't really, you know, like, smother you with all this information at once. Like, it kind of the movie took its time and delivered all this information, you know, at a slow, comfortable pace. And again, not so slow as to where it felt boring or tedious, you know, but it felt natural, and it felt natural, and it flowed very well. And, you know, especially for the movie being 2.5 hours. So, but I really appreciate that. And I loved the world building. I loved the plot. I really loved the characters. They're just really well written, and they're very interesting, and they have some great dynamics between them. Like Paul and his friendship with Duncan and Gurney, who are two of his father Leto's like higher up, not henchmen, but higher up soldiers in his army, and they're kind of well respected members of House Atreides, you know, and who are played by, Duncan's played by Jason Momoa, and Gurney's played by Josh Brolin, who both do a great job. And Paul's played by Timothy Chalamet, he's been in a few movies in the you know, last few years, but I don't think I've seen a movie with him in it. Like, I know who he is, like, I've seen him around, I know who Timothy Chalamet is, I just don't think I've ever actually watched one of his movies. But after having seen this movie, he is a damn good actor. He's a really good actor, and he plays the role of Paul Atreides pretty well. Zendaya plays Shani. Is it, or Chani? Let me make sure. I may be mispronouncing that slightly, but yeah, Chani, yeah. Who's one of the women, she's part of the Fremen on Arrakis. And Paul keeps having these visions throughout the movie of events that are yet to be, or are about to come to pass, you know. And he keeps seeing this woman, Zendaya's character, Chani, throughout. And And she's basically being set up to kind of be his love interest. And she doesn't, like, if you watch the trailers, you would think that she's in the movie a lot more than she actually is. And especially with her being, like, right next to him on the poster, like, right on his left, you'd think, oh, she's in the movie. She's, like, a main character, and she's not. I mean, she's not important. You know, I mean, her and Paul do meet up towards the end of the movie, and it's clear that she's going to be a big part in part two. But, you know, that was what this was. There's, you know, the first part, or, you know, this movie, especially with her character, it was a setup for the sequel. But, and again, what I liked about the movie, though, is that even though this clearly was the first part to a much bigger story, it still felt like a complete movie. Like, obviously, the cliffhanger at the end, you know, it's not like this huge grand cliffhanger, but it does end on a cliffhanger, and it does end incomplete, you know, but which makes sense because the director, Denis Villeneuve, knew that the story of the first Dune book was too complex and too long to tell in one cohesive movie. So he knew, he's like, okay, look, if I'm gonna direct this movie, which I really want to because I loved this book when I was growing up, if I'm gonna direct this movie, I'm gonna need to make it two movies. Like, because, I mean, they're like I said earlier, the Dune books, there's more than one. You know, there's, I'm not entirely sure how many, but I know there's at least two. There's probably a few more. But, you know, he said, I'm gonna need two movies to tell just the first story in this series of books, you know, and basically make it a franchise. And he also said that he kind of wanted to tell the story, to kind of make it a trilogy, you know, and make the second book in the Dune series the third movie. But who knows? We are getting part two, so who knows if part two does well. And maybe even before part two hits theaters, we may get confirmation that there is going to be a part three. So it'll make a fine trilogy. Although, I mean, it'll still make a fine duology, you know, just two movies. Even if there's no third movie, I mean, it'll still make a good two-parter, you know, good duology. But yeah, so the acting on everyone's parts is great. Javier Bardem, he has a smaller role again. Similar to Zendaya, who's playing Chani, but he plays like the kind of the leader or the spokesman for the Fremen, Stilgar. And, you know, what little he's in it, he does a great job with. He's everyone, I mean, whether their roles are huge, whether they're main characters or supporting characters, they each play their part to a T. They play their part perfectly. And they deliver what they have to deliver, they deliver what they're given perfectly, and without flaw. So, but yeah. So, oh, Oscar Isaac plays Paul's father, Leto Atreides. He does a great job. But yeah. So, and then there's some, like, you know. Oh, and then Rebecca Ferguson plays Paul's mother, Jessica. And yeah. Oh, and Dave Bautista plays, or no, Stellan Skarsgård plays the villain, the leader of House Harkonnen, Vladimir Baron. And Dave Bautista plays his nephew, Raban. I only remember them saying his name in the movie once. But, and it was spelled Rabban, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look. Let's see. Yeah, Glaucu Robin, but he referred to him by his last name, so that's why I called him Robin. But it may have been Raban because it's spelled Rabban. So, but yeah, he's Vladimir Baron's. Or the Baron, or Baron. They kind of refer to him as a few different names. But he's basically the Baron's nephew. So, but yeah, so The movie is it's really good. And I'm trying to think of what else to say about it. But yeah, a lot of people have been praising the movie's scope and ambition, and it does have a huge scope, and it is very ambitious in terms of, you know, like telling this huge grand story that you can kind of tell that the director wanted to tell this story. Because, you know, you can just tell, like, every frame of the movie, every shot is so meticulously, like, planned out. And so, it's so well shot, too. Like the budget for the movie was insane. Like, it was, I think, somewhere around $165 million. Let me look real quick. But, yeah, I mean, it's the budget was huge. And, and it's already made way over its budget, so. But let me see. Let me look real quick. Its budget was, yeah, okay. Yeah, I was right. Okay, the budget for the movie was $165 million. And it's already made, it's only been out a week, keep in mind. But it's already made $223.2 million worldwide. And that's with it being available to stream on HBO Max, too. Like, even though it's available to stream on HBO Max, you know, I guess maybe they kind of factor in people watching it or streaming it on HBO Max. But counting that and people going to the theaters to see it, it's already made, well over its budget. And again, just within the first week. So it's already done fantastic for so far. And I'm assuming it'll, you know, for the next month and a half or however long it's in theaters, probably next month, it'll probably continue to do even better. So, but yeah. And again, going back to the ambition of the movie, and, I didn't think that as many characters that died in the movie would die in the movie. Like, I didn't think that. And again, this kind of going more into spoilers, but Leto, Paul's father, ends up dying. He ends up biting this cyanide capsule that his doctor gave him to kill the Baron. And he kind of fatally wounds the Baron, but he doesn't end up killing him. The Baron kind of, he has this weird power, which I'm assuming, you know, I mean, if I read the book, I'd know a little bit more of it or more about it. But like he's able to float. And he's like this very huge, bulbous, fat guy, but he's very intimidating, and he's tall. He's a huge, tall, fat guy, and he's very intimidating, and he can float. And I'm not sure why, but like he dons this. He's got like this. He usually wears this black cloak, that's like really long, but yeah. Anyway, so Leto bites into the capsule. And you think, oh, wait, so is the Baron dead? Or is Baron dead? And, you know, and then a few minutes later, we find out, oh, no, he was crouching up in the corner of the ceiling. Because, you know, and it's like, ah, shit, you know. So, in a way, it's like Leto, in a way, you could argue Leto's sacrifice was for nothing. But he was going to die anyway because his doctor was a turncoat, Dr. Yue. He ratted them out to House Harkonnen, into the Emperor, and you know, and I mean, because the Emperor, like I said, he told House Harkonnen where House Atreides were going to be, but Dr. Yue was the one who shut down the shield generator, and gave them the exact coordinates, like, you know, like where everyone was going to be and all that. So, but yeah, he died. Duncan died later. There was this doctor who's like one of the doctors for the Fremen, Dr. Kynes. She dies, and I guess it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but like, I mean, they were kind of main characters, or at least in Dr. Kynes' case, she was a huge supporting character. So the fact that we had like all three of them die, like within the last hour of the movie, I'm like, oh shit, you know, like. Just the, like I said, going back to the ambition of the movie, the fact that you're willing to kill off these characters within the first movie, you know, makes me just kind of sit back in awe. It made me sit back in awe thinking, well, shit, if they're willing to kill like two of the main characters and like one of these really huge supporting characters in the first movie, you know, there's no telling what's going to happen in the second movie. Like, I mean, there's no telling who's going to die. You know, it's, and again, with their deaths, like I said, it made it even more unpredictable as to who would make it out in the end, you know, like who would live and who would die, because, you know, they were pretty important for the first hour and a half of the movie. And the fact that they sacrificed themselves for the greater good and for Paul's life, you know, so that he can carry on the future of House Atreides was just, you know, was very noble. And even if Leto's death, again, didn't lead to the Baron's death, it did kind of severely wound him for a little bit, you know. So it's not like it was all for naught, you know. But yeah, that was great. And it was sad too, because like, even though they do, like I said, even though they do die with all within like the last hour of the movie, they're all fleshed out well enough to where you're like, ah, shit, I didn't want them to die, you know, like they're all fleshed out enough to where you feel sad when they die, you know, and you're like, oh man, I wanted them to live. But yeah, so that was great. But yeah, the budget's insane. Everything is so realistic looking, like all the ships and the explosions and the Ornithopters, which are like these helicopters that look like dragonflies, which are really cool. The sandworms, we see them every so often on the planet. There's even a scene towards the end when Paul and his mother Jessica are out on their own, and they come across a sandworm in the middle of the night, and Paul's just looking up at it, and it's this huge, massive sandworm with this gaping mouth, these really long, sharp teeth, and it's just, and we get a better shot of it in the day too, but it's just huge, just massive in scale. And again, it just goes to show where, and I'm not saying the budget wasn't put to good use with the cast and the story and, you know, and all that, but like you can tell that the budget of this had to be huge, like $165 million. When you take a look at the planets, and you take a look at the ships and the sandworm, and you know, you take a look at the location and the scenery, you can tell that the budget for this had to be huge, like without even knowing how much it is, you know. Like if I didn't tell you how much the budget was for the movie and you saw the trailer, you would assume it's somewhere in the hundred millions. Like, I mean, it would have to be somewhere that high in the, you know, like it'd be impossible for it not to be. So, but yeah, so I'm trying to think if that's it. Oh yeah. But yeah, there's just, again, going back to the world building, we find out that, and we also get the setup that Paul is going to be the one. He's destined to be the one. He's going to be the one that kind of brings the galaxy together and brings the other houses together, to save them all from House Harkonnen and the Emperor, who, you know, they now realize is a piece of shit who threw them under the bus. But yeah, and it's funny because, yeah, there's the sisterhood that Jessica was a part of called the Bene Gesserit, who they're basically a sisterhood of witches who spend their whole lives perfecting the voice, which is pretty much just, it's, and again, this isn't, I'm not saying like this is a ripoff of it or anything, but it's almost similar to the Jedi mind trick in the Star Wars movies and shows, you know, where the Jedi would, you know, do the hand wave, and they would, you know, it's basically like heightened suggestibility, like kind of brainwashing or manipulating someone if only for a few seconds to do something against their will, you know, kind of force them to do. And that's basically what this is, except instead of speaking in your normal voice and doing the hand wave and saying, you will do this, or you will ignore that, or these aren't the droids you're looking for, you know. Instead of saying something like that, it's basically, basically what you have to do is you have to lower your pitch to a certain octave and kind of like command it, like say it with your gut, you know, like stop, or, you know, set us free, cut us loose, you know. And they use it a few times throughout the movie. But yeah, it's just, that's some great world building too, throughout the movie. And they're also getting their own spinoff. Like they've already announced, which I think they announced it back last year, but there's a spinoff, I think called Dune: The Sisterhood. And it's basically about, the Bene Gesserit and how they came to be. And it's a prequel about how they kind of formed and what they've been up to since the beginning of their formation, you know, from then, I guess, until we see them in the first Dune. So, but yeah, so, and again, like I said, so Denis Villeneuve, he did a great job with this movie. And like I said, you can clearly tell he had a passion for this movie, and he wanted, this is a movie whose story he wanted to tell. And, David Dastmalchian, I know I'm butchering his last name, but the dude who played Polka Dot Man in the Suicide Squad, and he had a tiny cameo in The Dark Knight as, in the beginning when the Joker's robbing the bank, he has a small part as, the Baron's, like assistant, and he ends up dying too when Leto bites the cyanide capsule and, you know, tries to poison assassinate the Baron. But he did a good job too, was given. But I forgot to point that out. But yeah, no, so in conclusion, Dune was a great movie. Denis Villeneuve clearly had a lot of heart and passion, and you can tell that he, just from watching it, you can tell that this was a story that he wanted to tell, that he clearly enjoyed telling a lot. And it's just a movie, like I said, the scope is insane. The ambition of it, the creativity, the balls, you know, like for killing off as many main characters as they did, you know, or as many main and supporting characters as they did. And the cliffhanger, it was a really good cliffhanger to end off on. And what a way to end the first movie off on, because there's still so many questions, still so many things that need to be wrapped up. But again, I mean, the movie still ends on a satisfying note, because it ends with them, with Paul, his mother, and the Fremen, including Chani, Zendaya's character, and Stilgar, heading off to, you know, free Arrakis, the planet, from the Harkonnen, you know. So it ends on a hopeful note, even if, like I said, it ends on an incomplete note. It still feels like a full movie, you know. But, you know, and again, even though it feels like a full movie, it is still part one of this bigger story. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a great movie, and I'm glad that they just announced part two 3 days ago. Like, they announced it on Tuesday, that part two had officially been greenlit, and it was going to premiere in October of 2023. They didn't release, they didn't say the day, but sometime October of 2023, so 2 years from now. And yeah, so I can't wait to see what the sequel has in store. I'm sure it'll be even more crazy than this one. But yeah, with the fact that we didn't even see the Emperor in this one, lets me know that, you know, and combined with all of Paul's visions that have yet to come to pass, and like the war, the holy war that stretches over the universe, and the fates of some of the of his character and all the others, and, you know, just so much you can do with the story. But where we left off and what we have to more to come in the story just lets me know that the sequel is going to be great, and I can't wait for when it comes out. So, but yeah, so I guess that does it for tonight's episode, or for this episode. But be on the lookout for later tonight. I'll be reviewing Last Night in Soho. So, but it'll be like later tonight. So I don't know if you'll be listening to it when I post it, but yeah, so I'll post that and I'll have a Halloween type review, Saturday. So be on the lookout for that too. But, yeah, I guess I'll see you guys, in a few hours. So take care.